join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Three Dimensions of Love by Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey.
We know so many of you, thank you for your comments and your responses and your texts and your tweets and the comments on our service from Sunday when we started the Three Dimensions of Love. And I think we got to two of them.
Yeah.
We got to two dimensions, so we're going to do a real quick review and then move on to the third dimension of love. And this is based upon Matthew, the 22nd chapter, Matthew 22, and starting at verse 35. And it says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, meaning an expert in the Jewish law, asked him, Jesus, a question, tempting him, testing him, trying to trap him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, verse 37, Matthew 22, 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So from verse 37 through 39 of Matthew 22, we see three dimensions. And dimensions are height, dimensions are width, and dimension is depth. Height, width, and depth are three dimensions in a natural sphere. And so when we look at love, we see loving God, that's the height, that's the vertical relationship. Mm-hmm. Loving our neighbor, that's the horizontal, the width relationship. And loving thyself, that's the in-depth. Mm-hmm. That's the depth of relationship. And so we pointed out that, first of all, loving God is a response to him loving us. The scripture tells us in 1 John 4:19 that we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. We love him because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. And so because God loved us, we respond to his love by saying, thank you, Lord, for loving me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then we start looking at what love looks like. We said, you know, love looks at loving God. What does the first dimension of love, that vertical relationship with God, looks like? It looks like putting him before personal pleasure. Mm. Some people say, I love God, but I'm going to do this. I love God, but this is the way I feel like it. I love God, but no, but when we really love God, we put him before personal pleasure, because 2 Timothy 3:4 tells us there's going to come a day when people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the root word of pleasure is please. Mm. And so some people rather please themselves rather than please God. And we're going to talk, we're going to go a little bit deeper in that today, because when we really love God, we will want to please him, mm-hmm. even if it displeases us. Right. We want to please him even if it displeases people. after Peter and John raised the beggar who was at the temple. What's that? Acts, the third chapter. The beggar who was at the temple. They commanded them to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Peter said, well, we realize it's going to displease you to preach in the name of Jesus. We can't preach, but the things that we have seen, we have heard. He said, whether it's right for us to obey you more than to obey God, you judge. And what Peter was saying, I realize me pleasing God might displease you. Mm-hmm. Come on. When we really please God, And Lord Jesus, there's so many things on my mind. But
what's on your mind?
What's on my mind, all what's this crazy stuff I'm seeing y'all post on social media.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay.
What's going on?
Where you post on social media how much you're pleasing yourself. Ooh. Can I tell you, some of the stuff you're posting that's such a pleasure to you, this pleases God.
Okay.
I ain't going to go deep. I ain't going to go into
I'm confused, though.
Well, let me just say this here. You know, the Bible says this, that, and I often quote this scripture. It said, I believe it's in Hebrews, that when Moses found out that he was a Hebrew, he chose to suffer the affliction with the righteous Hebrews than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. It's a passing point.
Okay.
But the point that is made is that sin is pleasurable.
Yes, it is.
Sin is pleasurable. Having sex outside of marriage, whether you're married or not, sex is pleasurable. Okay. I ain't never gotten high, but I'm assuming that getting high.
It's enjoyable.
It's pleasurable.
Mm-hmm, it's enjoyable.
Okay. Some things are pleasurable to some people. Gambling is pleasurable. Mm-hmm. Say something is just pleasurable. Come on, partying and going to strip clubs, whatever. That may be pleasurable to yourself, but sometimes what pleases us displeases God. Okay. And so when you really love God, you want to please him more than you want to please yourself. That's why the Bible says, that scripture I pointed out again, 2 Timothy 3:4 said, in the last days, which are days we live in now, some people will become traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Mm. And as Christians, we are called to please God more than a call to please ourselves. Mm. Okay? You know, I said, I don't know when I was saying this recently on one of, when we lived in Oklahoma, Oklahoma was pleasurable for us.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it was a nice,
comfortable.
It was comfortable. Mm-hmm. It was a nice place to raise our children.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Our children could walk to the store, walk around the corner. You know, they tell these stories about we walked 2 miles in the snow.
So kids, it felt like
you know,
2 miles.
They wanted to, we let them.
But they wanted to.
They wanted to walk in the snow. We let them walk around the corner. They didn't even have to cross the street. Mm-mm. They walked around the corner to the supermarket, and it probably, I don't know, it probably was a 1,000 yards or something around the corner. And we would go to various places and most people really were genuine Christians. They had some connection with church. They worshiped and it was so comfortable for us.
Right.
And I remember asking, I said, Lord, can we stay here? Because it was pleasurable to us.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, if I stayed there, I would have been pleasing myself, but displeasing God, because God's plan was for us to keep on moving and to settle us in Columbia, South Carolina.
Right. Right.
Even though that was pleasurable to us.
Right.
So sometimes when we talk about pleasing ourselves, it's not necessarily, we talk about sin.
Right.
It's what we want.
Yeah, I was going to say preference.
It's our preference.
Right, right, right.
Versus what God wants from us. And so we got to make sure if we love God, we want to please him more than we want to please ourselves. We want to be in his will more than our will. We want to have his agenda more than our agenda. Then we said loving God looks like serving people. Okay. Feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Loving God looks like ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful scripture. Hebrews 6:10. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Hebrews 6:10. It said, God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Now, the reason why I pulled this scripture out, because we're talking about, we're talking about serving God. We're talking about loving God. Mm. And so it says, the way we show we love God is by caring for other believers. Mm. God will not forget the love you showed to him by how you care for other believers. Amen. And minister to other people. Amen. I love the Lord. Well, if you love God, you got to minister to people. You have to care about other people. You have to do things. Sometimes you're doing things and you get nothing out of it. Mm. Other than the fact that somebody else is being helped.
Right.
You know, one of the things that, we got it with all the negative things and negative reports and death reports and sickness reports that we're hearing in the midst of this pandemic. I'm so glad that many of our news media, they're also highlighting people, such as that little 8-year-old boy, for example, who has raised all this money to help people who don't have anything to eat. Poor people were sharing their food with people. Mm-hmm. Right now, people who are taking people to get vaccines, particularly elderly people. When I grew up in a Pentecostal church, was rooted in holiness. Everything was about your deeds and having a relationship with Jesus. And we used to say stuff like, "It don't matter what you do for people. That don't matter. If you don't know Jesus, if your sins ain't forgiven." Now I get all that, but I don't know about that, because when we read the scriptures, anyone who had a conscience of that was Catholics.
Right.
Catholics understood they have a duty to minister to the poor, to help the less fortunate. And we looked at that Matthew 25:35-45, where Jesus says, that whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done unto me. Mm. And so he said, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison. You came to visit me." And said, people said, "Well, when we ever do that for you?" He said, in that you did or didn't do it for the least of these." Mm-hmm. Who are the least of these? People who can't help themselves. Right. People who can't pay you back. People who don't have a camera, who don't have public relations to tell everybody what you did. People from whom you can't springboard what you did for them. The time where we was riding and Lord said, "Turn around," and it was cold and we going downtown and we see somebody good. We leaving our church, we going downtown to eat, and we see somebody waiting on the bus stop. Mm-hmm. And we figure they must be going downtown.
We figure.
And we turn around and we let some poor person we don't know get in our car. And take all the times that you
remember that woman got late for work. She was never late. She said, I think like 10, 15 years. And we stopped to give her a ride. And we made her late for work. I don't know how that happened.
We got in a traffic jam.
And she said, all this time.
We got a traffic jam. And we took a route that the bus didn't take.
Right.
And we got in a traffic jam. And we picked this woman up. She worked at Liz's Thicket. Mm-hmm. And she said, "I've been working here 15 years. I ain't never been late until today."
That's hilarious.
We felt so, but the Lord knew our heart.
He knew our heart, but our heart made her late.
We knew our heart. But my point is, sometimes you do things for people that there's no prestige in it. God sees those things.
He's watching us on the backside of the desert. He's watching us while we're on a shelf. He's watching us while we're folding envelopes when we were in church, or in the infant and toddler room, or in the preschool department, or in the children's ministry. He's watching all of those things. And that's his will for our lives at that moment. But how are we in that time when we're serving God through an unpleasant vehicle, unpleasant place, something that stretches you? What is our character like? What's our posture like? Are we snappy? Are we irritable while we're in this waiting place with God? Isn't it? I can look back in different times in our lives as we were in our process of, because we loved God, we moved around a lot.
And it wasn't our plan.
Yeah.
It was God's plan for our lives.
And so it was uncomfortable. It was challenging. And sometimes the will of God is challenging and it's uncomfortable. And your proof of your willingness to be in the will of God is demonstrating your love towards God during uncomfortable seasons of your life. And so for a bulk of our lives, our marriage, before we got in the thick of purpose, even that was uncomfortable. Starting a ministry in our home, You know, our rooms, you know, children's room, our kids' bedroom became the first children's church room.
And they tore that room up.
Tore it up.
Just while we teach them Bible study and they're doing WWF wrestling while we teach them Bible study. We have to interrupt Bible study, go in our room and tell them, stop knocking this door. And then they knock the door through the hinges.
Knock the door through the hinges.
Through the hinges.
You know, but there's a level of love that God requires from us that looks like sacrifice.
Yeah. You know, I got to move on here, but we looked at 1 John 3:17. Whosoever hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Reason why I want to take a little more time to talk about that scripture, because some people think this means anybody got a need, you're supposed to give it to him. Anybody begging. And there are people who are opportunists who just want to listen. There are people who live and get rich every day off begging. Okay.
We know that.
Yeah,
for sure.
We know that there are professional beggars who some of them doing better than you. I had to stop a brother in our church one time. Come on, you go to a large church with several hundred people, a couple thousand people attending on a Sunday morning, you hit about 50 of those people up, 25 of them up for $20 a piece. Come on, you had a good Sunday, a good week.
Right.
And there are people who will try to take advantage of people having a good heart. So what I like, that scripture says, whoever has this world good, seeing his brother have need, but then it says, shut up his bowels of compassion. That means God will move upon you to whom to give.
Mm-hmm.
God will move upon you who to sow to, who to help. That doesn't mean everybody, but when God moves upon you to do it, and sometimes he'll move and you don't even want to do it.
Right.
You can come up with a good, you know, okay. I mean, in Acts 9, when God tells Ananias, he said, now go on down there. He says, go down there. Saul of Tarsus is going on. I want you to go in there and lay your hands on him. Mm-hmm. And God told Ananias to do it. And Ananias was like, hold up, God.
Yeah.
This man, let me tell you about this man. I know some stuff about this man maybe you don't know. This man is persecuting the church. So God will tell you sometime to minister to people, do things for people, you don't even feel like it.
Yeah.
You're like, God, maybe you don't know about them, what I don't. Lord, maybe you don't know what they did for me before. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't know what they've done. But when God moves upon your bowels of compassion, moves upon your spirit, tells you to get involved in somebody else's need, you need to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what that means. Second thing we say, you got to love your neighbor. That's the width. Go through real quick. That, you know, perhaps our greatest challenge in this season, this climate, is loving people who don't love us.
Yeah.
You got to love your neighbor. Sometimes, and you know, Peter, I believe one time said, Lord, who is my neighbor? And how many times shall I forgive him?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Lord, okay, now you're preaching a high standard. He said, okay, God, shall I forgive him seven times?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I forgive him 70 times. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just start checking it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this 69, you got one more time to mess over me. And Jesus says 70 times seven. Mm-hmm. And it's really implicated in a day.
Yeah.
What he's really saying, there's no
length
of time to which you need to still be forgiving to someone. And can I tell you that, y'all, that takes the love of God. That, because come on, the natural part of us say no, but not forgive them, get them.
let's
forget them.
Yeah, let's forget them.
Or let's forget them, not forgive them. Forget you. And God said, no, forgive them. Like Jesus did. And I believe that's why it's in the scripture. The people who were crucifying him on the cross, who called for him and who let Barabbas, the guilty man, go and let an innocent man die. They said, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Let the real criminal go. Let the innocent one die. Mm-hmm. And Jesus stands on a cross. And among his seven last sayings says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what Jesus was really saying there, a statement that we often use? Lord, forgive them, for they know what they know not what they do. Lord, they're ignorant. Forgive their ignorance. And can I tell you, that is a big part of maturity, of understanding that people would do better if they knew better.
Right.
There's people watching right now. You are holding grudges against your mother, against your father, yeah. against your brother, talking about what they didn't do as a child for you. And you look at people, you know, you look at people like me and Pastor Marcia from your perspective, we look so perfect. Yeah. We were the perfect parents and we got the perfect children. And you know, we share things with Trent, but we weren't perfect. There's some things we realized, you know, we should have did that better. Mm-hmm. We'd have handled that better. Right. I've apologized to Chandler many times. But Chandler was our guinea pig. He was our first child. Sometimes you do things with your first child, you realize you didn't do with your second child. The last child have no. They, the older child looked the way you deal with the younger children and say, "Who is this?
Yeah,
are you their parent too? Mm. Because you do things different, and so people do better if they knew better. And therefore, you got to be willing to forgive people. You got to be willing to forgive your parents." You got to be willing to forgive people who should have treated you better. You got to forgive people like Mephibosheth, who when he was young, a nurse, somebody was supposed to be caring for him, dropped him and caused him to be crippled for the rest of his life.
Right.
He was innocent in
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the people, but can I tell you, if you're going to have the full life that God wants you to have and for you to experience the fullness of God's love, you got to learn to forgive people.
Right. I mean, you often use this analogy or this example regarding forgiveness or carrying around, walking in unforgiveness. It's like you carry it and you will put someone on your back.
Right.
You know, carrying
around a dead man.
Carrying around a dead man. And it's so hard for many of us because sometimes we grew up in a way, our paradigm did not teach us how to forgive. You know, or it was a horrific experience and that you walk around with this thing, never again. Never again will I be a victim. Never again will someone take the advantage of me. Never again will someone hurt me the way I've been hurt. And unknowingly, you can position your heart to have challenges in forgiveness. And I believe that somebody that's with us today, that right now you got to release the dead man. That you have to make the decision that I'm going to walk in forgiveness. And it's so hard for us to forgive because sometimes we feel like we're letting someone off the hook. This is not about them. This is about the freedom in your soul. It's about peace of mind. And so often, as even married couples, you could be still in your marriage, but walking around with unforgiveness towards your spouse. And you say, well, you feel justified, or you may be waiting for that apology or waiting for time to evolve, you know, time to go on so that you won't feel the same way. You know, you can forgive and still
without feeling different.
Right. This is a decision.
You make a decision in your mind.
Right. It's a decision. And when you forgive someone, you are positioning yourself for peace, you know, that you no longer be in a posture of stress and anxiety and frustration and anger. So release the dead man and receive your freedom and deliverance today.
No, Jesus said, they will know that we are Christians by love, not by quickening, ikababasa, not by speaking in tongues,
mm-hmm.
not by looking deep, not by wearing a big church hat, not by running around the church.
Mm-hmm.
He said the distinguishing characteristics of Christians should be our love,
right.
How we demonstrate love.
Right.
You know, and one of the greatest demonstrations of love I have ever heard is by Joyce Meyer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Joyce Meyer tells a story of her natural father who raped her
mm-hmm.
and molested her
mm-hmm.
in her life
mm-hmm.
up to at least a conscience that she understood clearly what he was doing
mm-hmm.
for many years. And when God blessed her and prospered her, I think she brought him in a home.
Yes, she did.
She took care of him
mm-hmm.
until he died. Mm-hmm.
That's the love of God. That's the love of God.
Now, by this I know Joyce Meyer is a Christian. And people say whatever they want to say about Joyce Meyer. I don't care what people say. That woman took care of a man who abused. Now, it's even one thing to say, because, you know, sometimes you've been had to help me do this because I'm a generous person with money.
Mm-hmm.
I can give money.
And, yes, you can.
And Pastor Marcia said, now, yeah, it'd be real easy for you to do that. There was, I don't know, one of these holidays or something.
I remember. Which holiday?
It was some holiday I forgot to do something, or I was busy, didn't go get her a present, and I gave her a bunch of money.
While you was driving in the car.
I gave her some cash.
It was my birthday.
It was a birthday?
Mm-hmm, it was birthday.
And y'all...
He said, oh, wait a minute. Happy birthday.
And y'all know it wasn't like $10 or $20. If, knowing me, it was probably a couple hundred, at least a couple hundred dollars.
And I wasn't like that.
Oh, yes, it was. Not like every that. Time I get... Okay.
That was then. This is now. Anyway, it was not a couple
when I give
dollars.
Pastor Mar some money, I give her money. Now, don't make me tell all your business how rich you are, because I done bless you.
I'm sensing a little energy.
Anyway... And that's so she had a little bit of an attitude. Later on, she told me, she said, that's easy for you.
It's very easy.
It's easy for you. She said, you give money. Mm. But to go the extra effort to do something that's not easy for you, that demonstrates real love. To go out of your way to do something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was saying about Joyce Meyer, she had the money. She could have put in a nursing home.
She could have.
Get somebody else to take care of her.
Great care.
But she took care of them herself in her own home. Mm. Are y'all listening to
That's
me?
Powerful.
Sometimes the love of God demands us to say, do you really love me? Peter, feed my sheep. People never need you at convenient times. People don't die at convenient times. Mm. People don't get hungry at convenient times. Mm. The power doesn't go out at convenient right. times. Love will demand you to be inconvenienced.
Right.
Can I tell you the most inconvenient thing that anyone has ever done throughout the history of mankind? You know what that was?
Jesus
dying on that cross. I don't think that was convenient.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, I don't think the day after that could have been convenient. Mm-hmm. Okay? Jesus inconvenienced himself. And the Bible says this, he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down Amen. For the brother.
The greatest commandment tells us to love God with everything we have and to love others as ourselves. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey discuss love as it pertains to loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at @RDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.